amen. Take your Bible tonight, if you will, to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, if you will. And we want to just take a look a little bit more in the life, the ministry of Moses, and what an example it is for us, okay? We read the Word of God, and we read it, we study it, because God has something to say to it. So let's let the Lord speak. You know, open your Bibles, follow along, and if you will. But first I have to wave, okay, I have to wave at some people that are watching. They asked me if I would wave at them, so I said, I will wave at you. Amen. So I'm waving, and I just want them to know they didn't think I would do it, but I would. So, well, we could all, yep, get us, just everybody wave, and that's a blessing. And we hope, I hope there's a good number watching. I know we have some that watch very, very faithfully, and I appreciate that very much. All right, Exodus 17, verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. We're going to leave off reading there this evening. I debated on what to preach. To be honest with you, I've got 4 points in the message, but they're all leading up to the last point, okay? So if you want to consider everything an introduction and a one-point sermon, you could, all right? That'll be all right. I thought about calling it the best advice to the servants of God. And the reason I said that, look, it's my desire, okay, it's my desire that God would use every one of us in this building in some sort of service for Him, all right? We are the servants of God. We're the servant. That's what we're to be. No, that doesn't mean you have to be full-time in the ministry. Doesn't mean you have to go to the mission field or become a preacher, an evangelist, a pastor. No, just be involved in service of God, all right? Now, hey, there's only a few people in history that are going to be compared and that could be compared to Moses when it comes to their service for God, all right? You say, who? I don't know, but you might come up with somebody if you wanted to. So, I'm not saying you have to be the next Moses, all right? Don't mean that at all. But all Christians ought to be involved in the Lord's service. Now, I say that, and I know people listening are thinking, no, not me. But you should be. Amen. You should be. Every one of us, all right? Well, preacher, you don't understand. I do understand. You don't understand, all right? So stay with me tonight. Hope you'll understand. Hey, when you allow God to use you, there's some things you're going to learn. And there's some things that if you allow God to use you, if you'll learn it from the experience of Moses, it'll be real beneficial to you, all right? And I'll be honest with you, some of this is not very complimentary of human beings. Because, hey, the truth of the matter is, I want you to see, first of all, the Bible said they journeyed from the wilderness according to the command of the Lord, and they pitched in Rephidim. Rephidim, that word means, well, I read it today, it says it means beds or places of rest, all right? Now, I want to say this to you. In the Christian life and in serving God, there's not very many places of rest. Amen. There's just really not. Now, I know, the Bible in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9 says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. That is true, but I don't believe it's here. I don't believe that rest is here. I believe that rest is in heaven. Now, there remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. Well, when's that time coming? As soon as you get to heaven.
That's right.
As soon as you get to heaven, you can rest.
Amen.
All right? You can rest. But while we're here, we're to be laboring for God. We're to be doing something. You said, Preacher Man, I just can't do it. There's some of you here today that you're older than I am. You say, I'm old, I can't do it. Well, you can do what you can do. Amen. You can do what you can do. There's some of you here that are younger. You say, I don't have your experience. You can do what you can do. You know, we think, well, I've got a reason. No, hey, we ought to be involved. So we see them here at Rephidim, and maybe the children of Israel, when they got to Rephidim, they knew what that word meant, and maybe they thought, and we're going to find rest there. It'll be a good time. We'll be able to do it. But instead, when they got there, what they found was trouble. Yeah. Trouble. I mean, they had a lot of problems at Rephidim. And we're just going to look at one of them tonight. Probably next Wednesday night we'll talk about the other one. But the first problem that came up, man, was the lack of water, all right? Well, I just want to say something to you. You know, you want a positive edge to everything. I want you to know right now, if you decide to serve God and do anything for Him, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be trouble. There will be some kind of problem because serving God causes us to have to face some trouble. Amen. You have to face it. Oh, when I was a teenage bus captain, I had troubles that I had to face as a bus captain. You did, all right? There were troubles. Now, sometimes it was trouble with kids on the bus. Very seldom did everybody come to church, fold their hands, sit in their seat, and sing like an angel on the way to church. It didn't happen like that, all right? Sometimes I felt like it was 2 out of 3 falls all the way to church. Break, all right? You know, break. And it just seemed like there's always something. There's always trouble. It's always trouble. You serve the Lord. I'm not telling you. You serve the Lord, everything will be rosy. No, it'll cause trouble. Because you see, the call of God, it'll bring blessings, but it also brings a burden. It always brings a burden. And serving God's not easy, but it's worth it. Amen. Worth it. We didn't sign up as a Christian. I hope you didn't get saved with the thought, oh man, now a bed of ease. Well, it's not that way. It's not easy. Serving the Lord is not an easy thing to do in a lot of ways, all right? It's not. They came to Rephidim. Rephidim turned out to be a place of no water. They were there. That's a problem. No water is a problem when you have just a few people. Yes, sir. But it's estimated that the children of Israel this time are around 2 million people. Amen. And their cattle. Can you imagine 2 million people that are thirsty and all their cattle that are thirsty? And they got there, no water, no water. That brings us to point number two. You know what point number two is? Rebellion.
Yes, sir.
Rebellion. Look at verse 2, all right? Verse 2, here we go. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. Down in verse 3, and the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us, and our children and our cattle with thirst? Hey, you know what the worst part about serving the Lord is? You have to work with people. And I want to say it's the best part of it, too. But it's the worst part. You have to work with people. I think Brother Dunbar and I have said this before. Working in the Christian school would be no problem if you didn't have to deal with the stinking parents. If all you had to deal with the kids, you'd get by, but you have to deal with the parents. All right? And sometimes it's difficulty. Look, I don't know if y'all noticed or not, but people can be a pain. Have y'all noticed that? Now, I hope I'm not talking to people that are a pain, but there's a lot of people in this whole world, they can be, all right? You have to work with people. Sometimes it's not easy to work with people. You see, God has a desire to mold us to His will. He has a desire to mold you, to mold every other believer to His will, all right? To mold you, to make you really a vessel fit for honor. That's what He wants to do. And like the master potter, He works on us, all right? But our problem is we resist that. We resist that molding process. Sometimes His molding process, He uses trials. and troubles come our way, he'll work on us, all right? And he'll send a trial to help us correct a spiritual problem that we had. I mean, he sends it. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, you're like most everybody else then. Most people don't like troubles. Most people don't like trials. But God sends them oftentimes to mold us. Listen, I believe he's working on the nation of Israel with all my heart. Everything happened here happened for a reason. He's working on them, all right? But here's the problem. When you work with people, a lot of people are mistaken. A lot of people are mistaken. There's a great number of Christian people that are mistaken because they believe this. They believe that obedience will guarantee them prosperity and promotion, all right, and progress all the way down the line. If I just obey God, everything will be great. That's not true. I want you to back up. I want you to look right there in verse 1 again, okay? I want you to see it says, all the congregation of children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys. Now, here it is right here. According to the commandment of the Lord. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. They were right where they were supposed to be. They were right where they were supposed to be. Hey, they hadn't wandered off. They hadn't gotten out of the will of God yet. All right? They hadn't done that. They're right where God wanted them to be. They're walking right where he wanted them to be. And man, people have the idea, if we do that, guaranteed success. Everything will be rosy. That's not always so. It wasn't here, all right? I just want you to know you can meet trouble on the path of obedience. You can meet trouble on the path of obedience. I've heard some people talking before, and they talk about a Christian, and he's going through troubles and trials, and they say, well, where's the sin in your life? That was Job's friends. Job's friends came around. Job's having all kinds of trouble. He's lost his family. He's lost his wealth. He's lost his health. And his friends gather around to say, Job, what have you done to cause all of this? Well, he hadn't done anything. And you can have trouble serving God and obeying God. So you might think, well, why do it then if we're going to have trouble anyway? Because you want to be right where God wants you to be. That's why. You want to be right where he wants you to be. Hey, but you can meet trouble on the path of obedience. And that crowd that will say, well, there must be sin in your life. Not necessarily. Not necessarily, all right? See, many people are mistaken. They're mistaken in thinking, as long as we're obedient to God, everything will be good. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. It wasn't here. Not only are people mistaken, but many are misled when they meet with troubles and trials. Because what happens to people when they do? What happens to us when we meet those kind of things? Well, I'll tell you what happens. Satan comes along and tries to discourage you and tries to whisper in your ear and get you to depart from God's plan and God's path. He's going to come along. You got troubles? He'll say, see, told you. Doesn't do it. Didn't pay to serve the Lord. I mean, here you are. You were doing right. Here you are. You got in trouble anyway. You had a problem anyhow. Hey, listen, you can get in a car wreck on the way to church, okay? You can get in a car wreck on the way to church. I probably shouldn't say this. Some of you say, I'll never come soul winning if this happened to me. But I remember years ago we had two ladies out, and they were knocking doors, and they knocked on this guy's house, you know, and talked to him. He came back out of the house with a pipe and beat the windshield out of their car. Well, what a blessing.
Amen.
I tell you, we told that, and the next week everybody showed up for, no, they didn't. What are you saying, Brad? I'm saying, look, don't get the idea that troubles can't come, but when they do, don't let it discourage you, all right? Don't let it cause you to depart from God's plan, his purpose for you. Don't allow that to happen to you, all right? Don't allow that to happen. Now, funny things have happened. I'll never forget one time we got a call, and these two ladies were out, and a big German Shepherd, they had left their window rolled down, and a big German Shepherd got in their car while they were out knocking on doors. And when they came back, the dog wouldn't get out, and he wouldn't let them in. So what happened? Car's still there with the dog in it. No, I was kidding. Not. But, hey, it just, I mean, you know, different things like that happen, okay? Things like that take place. So what do we do? Well, I'm quitting. No, wait a minute. Don't let that happen to you. Look, we need to be regularly reminded that trials will come, okay? Trials will come. Don't think, well, nothing will happen. Look, hey, tell you what he's doing. God's doing something for you. He's trying to tell you something. He's trying to teach you something. He's trying to show you something. If that takes place, that's what's going on. He's got a purpose. When troubles come, we often see a favorite habit of human beings. Look what they did. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and say, give us water that we may drink. And verse 3, they murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt? What they're doing? Well, they're blaming Moses. They're pointing a finger of blame at him. Hey, we love to shift the blame. We love to shift the burden onto somebody else. Because the one thing people don't like to do today is assume responsibility. We do not like to admit, hey, that is my responsibility. I'm guilty there. I should have taken care of that. No, it's why didn't you do it? Why didn't you do that? You shouldn't have allowed that to happen. Hey, here they are murmuring against Moses. Can I just say to you, Moses wasn't the man that was in charge of all the wells and the springs in all the wilderness, okay? That was not his job. He wasn't in charge of it. But, hey, we live in a day when people run away from responsibility. They wanted to blame Moses. I just want to say this to you. And I told you when we started tonight that I believe every one of us ought to be involved serving God. Amen. But if you get involved serving God, I want to let you know there's some things going to happen. The day will come when somebody will blame you with something that is not your fault. Oh, yeah. They'll blame you. They'll point the finger because they have a tendency to run away from responsibility. They'll just come at you, all right? That's what they want to do. They want to blame Moses. People are that way, okay? People are that way. You've got more than one child. When you were, you know, raising your children, you had more than one. Come on, tell me you never had one of them try to blame it on the other one. Right? Never did that. I mean, my brother and I, we'd go out and we came back in late. I'd always be happy to point out to Dad, Dad's not my fault. I can't drive. He's the one. I'm going to bed. See him. Right. That didn't always work, okay? But, I mean, you know, we don't want to take responsibility. Let's blame somebody else. People will do that. If you serve God, you said, preacher, you're not making serving God sound like a whole good deal. No, I just want you to be honest, and I want you to realize it's going to happen, all right? If you serve God, there's going to be troubles that are going to come your way. There are going to be trials that are going to come your way. There are going to be people that are going to blame you when you didn't do anything. Right. It is not your fault, but they want to take the responsibility. All right? They wanted to blame Moses. Why? Because Israel still had failed to learn the lessons God had taught them from their previous trials. Right. Hey, they had already been through water problems, remember? Remember back there at Marah, and the water was bitter and they couldn't drink it? They said the same thing. Moses, you brought us out here to die of thirst. Same thing. Hey, what do you mean, preacher? I'm saying they hadn't learned anything. They haven't learned anything. When you work with people, you've got to go over it and over it and over it and over it to get it across sometimes. You just got to stay after it, all right? Stay after it. So Moses, what did he do? Man. Look in verse 2. They said that to Moses, and Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?"
Amen.
Oh, listen. What courage Moses had. What courage Moses had. You think about it. They're all blaming him. We don't hear anything much right now about Aaron. Aaron's supposed to be Moses' helper.
Right.
I can't help but wonder. I have no Bible for this. I'm not going to say it happened, okay? But I could see it happening. I could see when the people began to murmur against Moses, I can see Aaron going, "You're on your own, buddy. You know, it's you." Did that happen? Have no idea, but I could see it happening.
Amen.
I could see it. You ever been in a situation where somebody's after you and you think, "Man, I got a buddy."
Yeah.
Well, I had one, all right? They've deserted you, all right? They've taken off. I don't know what happened, but boy, Moses had some courage. Moses looked at them and he said, "Hey, boy, your problem is you're not attacking me. What you're doing is attacking God." He said, "Why in the world do you tempt the Lord?" When you deal with people, sometimes it's necessary to point out the error of their ways. Hey, well, in this day and age, could I say it like this? Sometimes it's necessary to be negative. We live in a day where people, "I just want something positive." Well, sometimes you've got to be negative because you've got to point out the error of their ways, all right? And they did tempt God. You said, how did they tempt the Lord? Hey, look, they tempted him with their distrust of his presence and his power. They had already seen what God could do.
Amen.
They knew what he could do. And here they are just a few days later, not trusting him anymore. Here you are. Wait a minute. These are the people who saw God open a path through the Red Sea. These are the people seen that. These are the people that seen God close that water and drown that Egyptian army.
Amen.
These are the people that had said, "God, we don't have anything to eat." And he said, "Take care of it. It'll be there in the morning."
Right.
It'll be there. And they now had been gathering that manna for weeks.
Right.
They had made the mistakes. They had seen what God could do. They had seen it. And they got to Marah and the water was bitter. "We're going to die of thirst."
Oh, yeah.
God said, "Moses, there's that tree. Throw it in the water and it'll be all right." Wouldn't you think by now that at least a few more of them would have said, "Wonder how God's going to fix this."
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
Wouldn't you think that somebody at some point would have said, "How's God going to take care of this problem?"
Right.
That's not what happened. Man, here they are again. Moses!
Amen.
Moses said, "How dare you tempt the Lord?" Hey, look, their conduct was inexcusable. It was inexcusable. These were the people of God. God had more than proven himself in their favor on a lot more than one occasion. And he had proven himself on their behalf over and over again. But you know what? They're like a lot of Christians today. A lot of Christians today want God to answer their prayer exactly the way they want it.
Right.
"Lord, I'm praying and I'm going to tell you exactly how to handle this situation." Well, God's not going to do that, all right? They want the Lord to do as they say. Man, we need to be real careful. We pray to God, "Lord, I need your help. I don't know how y'all feel, but I don't care how God does it. As long as he does it, all right?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter to me. Let him take care of it." But a lot of people today, man, listen, "Lord, you got to do what I say. You got to do it my way. I'm praying for Grandpa, make him well. Grandpa's 95 years old, lived a long life, but Lord, I don't want him to ever die."
Right. Yeah.
Lord, you can't do that. Well, sure you can.
Oh, yes.
Sure you can. Look, I got news for you, okay? You going to heaven?
Yes.
It's only two ways.
Amen.
He said, "What? I thought there was only one. It's through Jesus Christ."
Amen.
That's true. But there's only two ways for you to get there after you've been born again. There's only two ways.
Right.
Either you have to die.
Amen.
That body has to expire.
Right.
Or the rapture has to take place.
Amen.
All right? And one of those two ways, that's the only two ways to get there. It's not going to be, "Look, here comes a chariot of fire just for me."
No.
Well, God's going to let me be 150 years old because it'll be then when he comes back. No. God's going to do what he knows is best. But a lot of people today, our prayer is, Lord, do what I want the way I want it done.
Amen.
Moses had the courage to look those people in the eye and say, you're tempting God.
Right.
You are tempting God with your conduct. Listen, you serve the Lord. You serve the Lord. The day may come where you've got to be kind of blunt. Takes a little courage to do it. Takes a little courage to do it. Don't shy away from it. Now, you don't have to relish in the doing of it either, all right? But it ought to be done, okay? But not only did he courageously face the people, I want you to notice what he did in verse 4. The Bible says, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. Moses had the courage to face them, but he had the wisdom to call upon God.
Amen.
The wisdom to call upon God. Look, if you're going to serve God and you're going to do anything for God, you need those two things. You need courage. You need wisdom. You need wisdom. I'm like a lot of other people. I've heard others say it. You may have heard me say it. I constantly pray for wisdom. Lord, I need your wisdom.
Amen.
I need it. He had the wisdom to consult with God. Hey, if you're going to serve God, you've got to learn to come to him for help and guidance. You don't have to think, well, he's helped me before. I don't want to bother him. I don't want to bother him. One of the most aggravating things to me as a pastor, I'll just tell you, okay, is when you have the attitude, well, preacher, I didn't want to bother you. Okay, you get sick. Do you bother the doctor? No, I'll just see if I can dope myself along here and maybe get through it. Now, I'll be honest with you. I get sick, I bother the doctor.
Amen.
I'm going. I'm saying, what do you think? Now, first, I always go through my nurse. Say, who? My wife. I always say, what do you think? She, you know, she's got a list of remedies for everything. And so I'll go there. But look, I'm looking for somebody to help me. If you need help, don't hesitate to ask, all right? Don't hesitate to ask. Don't hesitate to say, preacher, I need, if not, could you pray for me? My word. You're not bothering me, okay? You're not bothering me. You're not bothering God. When you come to him and say, Lord, I need some help. Moses said, what am I going to do with this crowd? What am I going to do with this crowd, all right? I don't know what to do. Hey, Moses gives us a marvelous example. You need to have courage. You need to have wisdom, all right? You need to have wisdom. Now, I've said all of this to get to this point in the sermon. You see, this is the great advice every servant of God needs. Look at verse 5. And the Lord said unto Moses, quit. Wait a minute. That's not what he said. He said, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. Go. Go on. You got troubles. You got trials. You got problems. Moses said, Lord, here I am. What am I going to do with these people? And God said, tell you what you're going to do. You're going to go on. You're going to go on. That is it right there. God's answer was quick and coming. It was a plain statement. Moses didn't go, I don't understand. No, he understood. He understood. God told Moses to go on. Look, you know what? You want to try out the troublesome situations, the trials that come your way. Most of the time, one of the best things you can do is just keep on going. Just keep on going. Just keep on going. Say, preacher, I'm going through a hard time, you know. I'm just going to stay home and work this out. Wrong.
Amen.
Wrong.
Amen.
You keep going.
Amen.
You keep going. Hey, you keep going to church.
Amen.
You got problems, you keep going to work.
Right.
You just keep on going.
Amen.
You got a family, you keep taking care of them.
Amen.
You don't bail out, okay? You don't get to a point and say, well, that's it. I'm just done. Look, you got a problem, you just keep on. You just keep on going. I've watched all kinds of videos of vehicles, you know, with idiots behind the wheel.
Oh, yeah.
And trying to climb some, four-wheeling or something. And I'm thinking, well, what are you going to do? Well, you just got to keep going, all right? There's no place to stop. You can't stop on a big incline and say, okay, put on the brake. Let's get out and look. Can't do it. You just got to keep going, all right? You got to keep going. No place to stop. Just got to keep on going. And that's so true for us, all right? You got a problem, so what am I going to do? Well, first of all, you keep going. Just keep on going. Keep on going. Well, kids last week on the bus route, there was much trouble. I mean, I just don't think I'm a, yeah, you are. You go again this week. Just go again. Well, my Sunday school class, they acted up, you know. I can remember, I started teaching Sunday school when I was a teenager. And I can remember teaching, I started teaching junior boys. I can remember Sundays where I felt like the only thing I did was kept them from killing each other. I got inside the door, shut the door, put my chair in front of the door, and nobody got out, and I tried to teach. And after it was over, I thought, man, this is terrible. But said, what'd you do next Sunday? I quit. I handed in my resignation. I came back. You keep on. Keep on. Look, I've stood to preach before. I've stood to preach, and it seemed like I'm looking at my notes, and I'm thinking, what happened to that sermon I preached to myself before I got here? Man, and it was so good, and I was saying amen all the way through it, and now I'm stumbling along, can't even seem to get it out.
Right.
And I'm thinking, you'll be glad when this is over, but you'll not be half as glad as I'll be when this is over. What do you do? Well, you keep on going. You keep on going. You just stay with it, all right? You don't quit. Now, in different situations, this instruction might demand different duties, different directions, and, you know, whatever the situation is, but you keep going. You don't quit, all right? The folks that overcome the most are those that just refuse to quit.
Amen.
So I'm not going to quit. I will not do it. Will not do it. Now, here's Moses. Good heavens, if anybody ever had an excuse to quit, Moses did.
Right.
Every time he turns around, the people are complaining against him. They're murmuring against him. They're saying, what a sorry job you're doing. You led us out here to starve in the wilderness. You led us out here to die of thirst in the wilderness. And it's just constant. And, you know, if anybody had the right to say, Lord, last time I looked, these are your people. They're all yours. But God called Moses. Moses stuck it out. And you know what? Today, the people of Israel look at Moses as one of the greatest men in their history.
Yeah.
And he was. He's one of the greatest people in all the Bible. One of the greatest people in all the Bible. Why? One reason is he just wouldn't stop. God told him to go on. Moses said, okay. Okay. I'll go on. I'll go on. Now, I know you say, well, what happened? Well, he went on. He did what God said, struck the rock, and God watered the whole crowd.
There you go.
It was simple. But it'd not happen if Moses hadn't went on.
Right.
Let me wind up tonight. Let me say this. The children of Israel ran into problems at Rephidim. You're going to run into some also. If you serve the Lord in any capacity, you will run into problems with people. There will be some difficulties. Look, stay in the way of God, doing the work of God as you follow the will of God. Just stay with it. Don't stop. Go on. Go on. You say, well, I don't know the answer to every problem. Join the crowd. Who does? I don't either. Hey, man, I remember the times that I've knelt and said, Lord, I need some help.
Amen.
I do not know what to do. I do not know what to do. I need you to tell me what to do. And I would try to do what I thought God wanted me to do. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I thought, Lord, are you sure? But you never fail if you keep going, all right? Just go on. Just go on. Yep, there'll be problems. But don't let it make you quit loving people. Don't let it do that to you. All right? Just people will disappoint you sometimes. That's okay. People have bad days sometimes. That's okay. You go on. Go on. You stay with it. Stay with it. That's what Moses did. God used him in a mighty way, didn't he? Wouldn't it be nice to be used just a tiny bit of the way God used Moses? Oh, yeah. God wants us to do it, all right? God has a purpose. God has a plan. There's some way you can serve him. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your situation is. There is some way now you can serve the Lord. Don't walk away from that service. Instead, follow after. Chase it down, if you would, all right? Chase it down. Would you bow your heads? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Listen, could I just ask you tonight, hey, what is it God wants you to do? What is it God has for you to do? Are you doing it? You say, well, I don't know. Well, when did you ask him last? What does he want you to do? There is a job. There's a purpose for you, okay? Don't miss that opportunity to serve God. Will there be troubles? Yes. Don't worry about it. You can get through it. You can get through it. People may let you down. Don't worry about it. God won't let you down. Hey, just go on. Go on. Heavenly Father, I pray now you'd help us tonight. Help us, Lord, to see the example of Moses. Lord, it's easy for us sitting here thousands of years later and look back at Moses and say, well, yeah, he could do it, but wait a minute. When he was involved and when he was facing this, it was just as difficult for him as it is for us today. Lord, if he could overcome the problems he did, the opposition he did, then we can overcome those things that come our way too. Lord, help us to just keep loving you, keep loving people, keep serving you. And Lord, if we're not sure what to do, keep looking for a way to serve you and just keep doing it, Lord, until you call us home. Or Lord, you come back for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.